We don't look at appearances, you know. And we don't judge today based upon yesterday's failures.
Amen.
We don't look back. We learn from yesterday, but we go forward in today. We walk in today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is a new day. Today is a new beginning. Today is a fresh start. The past is gone. The Lord is the Lord also of the past. And so we walk in new life. We walk in newness of life. We walk in what's called today. Today is the day of God's favor, God's rest. There is a rest for the people of God in the Spirit. God wants us to cease from our works to enter into His rest.
Yes.
And so when we step into His rest, into His peace, and we operate from His peace, then we're not being presumptuous. We're not jumping ahead of God. We're not lagging behind. We're walking in unity with Him. So today is a new day, a new beginning. The enemy wants to wave your past out in front of your face. You could have confessed that sin 20 times. And he'll come around the 21st time and says, "Remember what you did." It's time to say, "Enough is enough. I'm going to receive. My redemption is complete in Christ. I am no longer living in darkness. I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm a new creation." Amen? And therefore we will operate, we will move, we will walk in that new identity in Christ. If any man be in Christ,
he
didn't say patched up old creation. New creation. Remember that old chorus? "I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again." When you feel condemned, just say, "I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again." What are you doing? You're putting confidence in God's promise. We are children of promise, not children of the bondwoman. Amen? Where you're trying to work your way through it. It's a walk of faith. And on this walk of faith, we navigate through turbulent waters at times. Amen? We have to avoid the pitfalls and the temptations and the rocks. But we're navigating together with Jesus. He's in the boat with us. Amen?
Amen.
And so, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. And you have to accept that truth, that identity. Put faith in what God promises in His Word. Not faith in how I feel today. Because if you put faith in how you feel today, the devil can make you feel rotten. Because you're putting your faith in the wrong thing. I'm only right with God because I feel right today. There are people who are going to hell who can feel right in a day. Our faith, our trust is in the promises of God and His Word. Amen? Jesus said, "Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out." Did you come by faith? You came by faith. You came in godly sorrow. The Holy Spirit convinced and convicted you. You knew you were lost. You knew you needed help. You knew you couldn't help yourself. And so you said, "I'm going to turn to the only one who can help me. The government can't help me anymore. The doctors can't help me anymore. I certainly can't help myself anymore. So I'm going to put my trust, my hope, my faith in the only one who not only can save me, but keep me from falling." So we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ alone. And only in Christ can we stand faultless before the throne. Clothed in His righteousness alone. My goodness is His goodness to me. My righteousness is His righteousness. that He has given to me. My redemption is not in my performance, but in His blood. And when the heart changes, when the perspective changes, when my mind is renewed and I begin to learn and understand who I am now, are you with me? It's coming to an understanding of your identity. Then you can say like Paul, there's no condemnation. I receive what Christ has done for me as payment, as sufficient payment. You see, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. When you're in the grace of God, you don't do those things that grieve the Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
You don't live in sin when you walk with Jesus. But if you just try to put faith in the way you feel or in your performance, you're putting your faith in the wrong place. And you quickly come back under condemnation and fear and guilt and shame. And the enemy just wants to keep you bound so that you'll never achieve your purpose for which you were created. Yeah. It's awful quiet tonight. But isn't it true that good feelings follow faith? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Because God certainly knows how to make us feel good too. He's certainly desirable and pleasurable. But it's not the other way around. I feel saved today, so I am. You know, I feel like a child of God today, so I am. See, it's based upon the promises of God. Abraham believed God, right? And therefore, it was imputed to him as righteousness. Blessed is a man who does not work, but trusts in God. But those who are legalists and those who are in the system of works and performance and comparing themselves with others will have a problem with a free person. See, the Pharisee had a problem with Jesus. Yeah. But Jesus walked in complete peace, complete freedom. He knew who he was. He didn't have to be this person over here and that person over there and this person over here, depending on who he was with. Jesus was always Jesus. He didn't change. It didn't matter if he was hanging out with sinners, Republicans, right? Or hanging out with whoever, the Pharisee, the religious people. Jesus was still Jesus. And what Jesus is trying to tell his people is you be you no matter what. Quit trying to be anybody but you in the Lord. Your identity is what we need to understand, what we need to know, what we need to live out of. The fact that I am a child of God. I believe that Jesus promised to me that I wouldn't perish if I put my faith and my trust in Him. That's where my faith and trust goes, you see. I believe that the cross and the blood of Christ, amen, was effective. That it availed for me. That God has purchased me for His own. That I have stepped out of death into life. And so it's a choice. You're going to live out of the old identity or the new. I choose the new identity. Amen. I choose life and peace in the Spirit. Through a communion with Christ. Through fellowship with Jesus, amen? Amen? Through a relationship with the Lord. You've been set free in Christ. Stay free in Christ. Enjoy the journey. Don't allow anybody else to put you in their box either. The legalist will try to put you in their box. And they'll smack you over the head with Scripture. How many know that the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ? A relationship in the Spirit. You come to know the heart of God. You know, I have a relationship with God. Because you can be scripturally correct, but in your spirit you can be wrong. Think about that. What happens is we make, if you will, an idol out of the tablet of stone rather than worship the God of the law. Are you with me? There are people who, in a sense, they study, they learn the scriptures, okay? Which we, by the way, we all should be studying and learning the scriptures. Amen. Would you say amen?
Yes, amen.
But when we study and we learn the scriptures, the purpose of this is that we might know Him. That's always got to be our approach. Not so we can learn how to use this against somebody. Learn how to win an argument, but that we might know Jesus. That we might be transformed into His image through an understanding of my identity in Christ. Once you step over that line into life, you then live out of that identity. And as you're learning who you are, some of the old clay and the flaws of your life are still going to be there. Amen?
Yes.
It's that part of us that we don't like. We hate the old man. We hate that part of us, are you with me?
Yes.
That's not in alignment with God.
Right.
And so it's not a matter of me trying harder now to please. It's a matter of me saying, what did God promise me? What God promised me, I'm going to receive. I'm going to believe that.
Yes.
When you receive truth, it sets you free. There are people who are in the church who have been bound for years and years and have never understood or experienced the joy, the righteousness and the peace of the Holy Spirit. They're bound by the letter. Jesus said to the Pharisee, you're ever learning, but you're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The truth was standing before them. His name is Jesus Christ. He says, it's all about me. This book is all about me. When we read this, it's so I may know Him. I've got to get beyond the sacred page to the Lord of this word. Amen? And experience the joy of fellowship with Him. You see, true grace, reception of grace, produces the fruit of righteousness. When you're a recipient of grace, it produces righteousness. Why? Because it's His righteousness. It's not the fruit of my work. It's the fruit of His Spirit. Are you with me? The fruit of His Holy Spirit. That's what the Father is pleased. That's the aroma of Christ through us. By faith in the Word of God. Not faith in the Bible, but faith in the Lord of the Bible. And so if you walk in freedom and liberty in Christ, and you are a recipient of that grace, you will have a righteous walk. Are you with me?
Yes.
You'll live right. You will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Jesus said to those who had been burdened down with all the requirements that were put upon them by the religious leaders of that day, come unto me, all you who labor. You're heavy laden. Because I'm going to take that burden off of you. I'm going to give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Hang out with me. Connect with me. Get connected with Jesus. Because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. You'll find rest for your soul. When we walk in that rest, we walk in that place, folks, people are going to want what you have. If we walk under the bondage of the law, in the performance place, you know, you're not going to be enjoying the journey, and people are not going to want what you have. What they are looking for is Jesus. They're not even looking for us, amen? They're looking for Jesus. But they're hoping to see Jesus in us. People that call themselves Christians, followers of Jesus. I hadn't planned on this message tonight, but this is what God is doing. Do I have to apologize?
No.
Okay, thank you. I was going to preach it anyways, but... yeah. God wants His people free. If the Holy Spirit convinces us, convicts us, all right, of going in the wrong place, in other words, of going back into the old identity, placing ourselves back under bondage again, that always leads to sin. Sin magnifies itself when you live in law. It takes control of you again. The reason why people don't get free from addiction sometimes is because they're trying in their own efforts. It's by the power of God that we are set free. Yeah, some people have willpower and they can you know, sometimes get victory, at least temporary, sometimes permanent, simply by willpower. But God is giving to us His Spirit. And He's given us these promises that we may know it's freely given to us. So it's a shifting away for me and my work to abiding in the finished work of Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And when we say, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man, old things have passed away, I've been born again. When you feel condemned, say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Believe the promises. Speak the promises. Walk out the promises. It's a relationship, remember. I heard somebody say some people believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Now His Word is precious, but Jesus is the Word. And He's the one that we need to encounter. So if our education doesn't lead to a God encounter, when we are receiving from this, what we're looking for is Jesus. Are you with me? The substance is Christ. The reality of the kingdom is Jesus Christ. Anything else is just a dead letter. This word without the Spirit is a dead letter. And if we operate out of a dead letter, it actually reproduces death in people. And if you sit under teaching where there's dead letter, it can actually hurt you rather than help you. Now the Word of God has an anointing on it. It is powerful. But you do need to be careful of what spirit you're sitting under. Are you with me? You need to receive from someone who is submitted to the Spirit of God, that is speaking by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. I can remember, I get BYU channel. That's Brigham Young University channel. That's Mormon. And, you know, I flipped on that channel a few times just to kind of figure out, it's like, what do they do? I mean, what's their church like, or, you know, their service? And it was awful. It was so dead. The people were in such bondage and fear. It seemed like everybody was trying to perform or outperform. And literally, the guy that was speaking was, if I didn't know any better, I would think he was a robot. How many ever watched that or been to a Mormon? It was like... And everything was like a monologue that they had remembered or rehearsed. And I actually started to feel ill. Physically ill. It was so bad. But it goes to show how crafty our enemy is. Where he can get a hold of young, bright, intelligent people and dupe them into believing this lie, that this is actually Christianity. But my Bible says in John 14:6 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the complete deal. Amen? We're complete in Christ. It didn't say we're complete in Christ and someone else. But we're complete in Christ. He says, no man comes to the Father but what? But by me. He's the way. He's the entrance. He's the door. How many know that we need to understand the very foundations, the fundamentals, amen, of this truth here? Because you have people who can tell you, you know, all the eschatology and the sequence of events, and we're going through the book of Revelation. We're not done with that yet. And I believe in studying the Bible, we're going to continue to do that, and the Holy Spirit will inspire it and bless it and impart to us what He wants us to know. But, you know, we need to get beyond, okay, Bible studies. We need to start living out the Word of God. Amen. We are living epistles. Yes. The Word of God is written in our hearts. Amen. We receive from the Lord by the Spirit, and it's written on our hearts. And now we go and we speak words of life. Amen. Amen. By the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Yes. Jesus said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and life. That's right. We do the same thing. So we walk in a brand new moment. Do you know that that last minute that we were just here, we'll never see again? Of course, that came as a revelation, but we'll never be able to go back and redeem that minute that just went by. We've been given life. We've been given breath. We've been given a responsibility. We've been given a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And to bloom where you're planted, wherever that is. Because the kingdom is within you. If Christ is in you, you are a new creation. You are now an ambassador representing the kingdom government of heaven. That's our assignment. Now, the Bible says in 1 John, perfect love, right? Perfect love casts out all fear. But I want you to look at verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. So, this is something that is not new to us, most of us, but it's something that we need to really get a hold of. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Can you hear that? What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. He took the initiative. He took the first step. Fear has torment. But love does what? It casts out fear. And so love drives out fear. But, I want you to hear this, fear drives out love. So we're either going to walk in love or we're going to walk in fear. They cannot coexist. You've got to know that God loves you. That He first loved you. That He loved you before you loved Him. That He loved you before you knew Him. Or knew anything about Him. He already loved you. When we walk in love, we don't walk in fear. In Revelation chapter 4, if you turn there real quick. In chapter 4, Revelation verse 9, whenever the living creatures, these are before the throne of God. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And what do? They cast their crowns before the throne. What does the crown represent? Blessings, rewards, positions, amen, titles. If you're wearing a crown, what? Who wears crowns? Kings wear crowns. It's an identity, isn't it? But what happens here is they take their crowns and they cast them down, right? And what do they say in verse 11? You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. When they see Jesus, when they see His glory, I've heard people, I don't know how many of these stories I believe, but I believe people have seen heaven. Do you? Maybe you've seen, had a glimpse. But I heard one testimony one time say that because God is so glorious that you cannot help but praise Him. Well, isn't that what happens when the glory of God touches our spirit? Are you with me? You can't help but praise Him. It's just, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory! When the Spirit of God touches the spirit of man, you can't help but give praise and give glory and give honor to Him. For you created all things. And by your will they exist and were created. We were made for Him, right? So, you can't give back to God something you don't have. How could they give glory and honor and blessing and power, right? And dominion and strength. All these things that they give to God in heaven are things that God gave to them first. We honor God. We honor God because God honored us. When we honor one another, then the response is to honor back, to give back, usually. But even as God has blessed and honored mankind, not everybody gives glory and honor and blessing back. Are you with me? When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one returned to give glory to God. How could he give glory to God? Because he received glory from God.
Right.
We have received glory. We've received honor from God. We've received favor from God that we didn't deserve. And so why we want to offer back praise out of gratitude. And when we get to heaven and we see Him in all His fullness and all of His glory, hallelujah, forever and ever and ever, you won't be able to help yourself. He's just so wonderful. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Yeah, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah to the Lamb who reigns forever and ever.
Glory.
We are recipients of grace. Recipients of God's honor towards us. I will give you beauty for ashes. You see, Jesus came and He gave and He loved and He blessed and He picked people up and lifted them up out of the miry pit. Amen? He lifted people up everywhere he went. He destroyed the works of Satan, and he reached out a hand and he helped them up. God so loved the world. God was on the scene, loving the world. People were handling and touching and seeing the Word that became flesh. God became a man and dwelt among us. And so, when people who had been in bondage, who had been broken down, who had been kicked around, you know, had been lifted by Jesus automatically. Isn't it true? You just want to praise Him. You just want to bless Him. You just want to... Hallelujah. When you receive grace, are you hearing me? When we're in the grace of God, it will produce fruit. When we walk in law, it leads to bondage and fear and shame and condemnation. When we walk in freedom and liberty and the grace of God, it produces the fruit of praise and thanksgiving to God. Yes. We end up lifting up Jesus and boasting on Jesus. And the world says, wow, those people are radical. And those who God is appointing, those who are open for truth, are the ones who are going to say, I want what you've got. And they're not going to want what we've got unless we've got something to give. Amen? And the only way we're going to have something to give is that we get into the position and just receive what He gives freely. Not that I performed well enough, but I'm a receiver. You're either going to be a worker or a receiver. And when you're a good receiver, guess what? Your works will follow you. But we're not working to receive. The Lord didn't say, if I give you all the desires of your heart, then you'll delight yourself in me. He said, you delight yourself in the Lord. How can we delight ourselves in the Lord? When we turn our eyes upon Him. When we seek Him through the written Word, that we may have an encounter with the living Word. Amen? And when we experience the grace of God that is freely given, because we get into a position where we receive, we humble ourselves. If God says, turn away from sin and turn to me. You see, that's repentance. It's not just going around saying, I'm sorry, and going back and doing it again. If you're truly sorry, amen, it's because the Spirit of God is drawing you. And the Spirit of God is convincing you and convicting your heart and making you aware of your true sinfulness so that you may come to Christ to receive not more bondage, but freedom from bondage of sin. That you might be set free to walk in a new life, in a new, brand new identity. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And out of the new, there's life. When we walk in the new, there's fruit. There is the fragrance. There is the life, the manifestation of God's presence. As we abide in Him, we bear fruit. Do you see? This word, I'm going to say it one more time, is not just so we can show people how smart we are. But this word is so that we may know Him. And when we know Him, then we can make Him known. We are a living organism. This is a movement, right? It's not an organization. We have organizational structure, but we're actually an organism. And so, in what we call church, which is really synagogue, right? Because church is who we are. We're the church. But this is our house of worship. That's what synagogue means. It's a house of worship. When we receive from the Lord, then we can give. But we are living stones. We've been brought together for such a time as this as to be a habitation of God in the Spirit. God wants to work in and through our lives. So, you're either going to walk in life or death, bondage to your own performance, or freedom in Christ based upon the promises that are freely given. It's free. It's free. It's freely given. And once you receive freely, then you do what? You give. Yeah. You give freely. When we receive honor, we give honor. When we receive glory, we give glory. We give honor and glory and praise and blessing to God because we have been honored by Him. When you're crawling on your belly in the pit of life and Jesus comes along and pulls you up out of that mess and cleans you up and calls you a son and calls you a daughter and puts a robe of distinction on you, He clothes you, you see, so that you're going to fit right in. You're going to be at home with Him. He puts a ring on your finger. It says you're an heir to the throne. Amen? A signet ring. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're a son. Sandals on your feet. How beautiful are the feet of them. Yeah. You know, that ain't no cheap ring either, right, brother? So we have received grace. Therefore, if you would, let's just take one more look and then I'd like to pray a little bit tonight. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. How many know that the word of the Lord is received by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven? Are you with me? There is a word that is in season that God speaks. It is a rhema word. It is a word that breathes life into your spirit that produces faith in God. And when we had faith, we believed and we accepted what God had given us. Amen? We receive freely. We just said, okay, thank you, Jesus. You did that for me. I receive that. That's how it began. That's how it continues. What was going on here? He's saying that when you go back under the bondage of your own works, your own performance, you're actually operating in a spirit of witchcraft. And the letter of the law will kill. It will destroy people. But the Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life. So what we need to do is hear from Him. Because they began obeying the truth. What was the truth? That Jesus Christ was crucified for us. That He paid the price that we couldn't pay. that he fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law, that even the handwriting of ordinances that was against us was nailed to the cross. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, so that faith in what Christ accomplished alone would justify the sinner. Amen. There should have been more amens than that.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say amen then. So that here is a group of folks that had began right. Oh, what a glorious day. And then you had people coming in, Judaizers, those who wanted to put them back under the law and all the requirements and try to, in other words, they're saying, yeah, Jesus, but. What, whenever we say but, look out. It's Christ alone. Get yourself out of the equation. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's Christ alone. Only He qualifies us for heaven. He is our righteousness. He's not part of our righteousness. He is our righteousness. He's not part of our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And when you abide in His righteousness, in that identity, when you believe in your heart what God says, then righteousness will result. Because you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. And you won't gratify your sin nature anymore. He gives you power to live right. This only I want to learn from you, verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Who? I don't know how many times, and that's why when a person gets saved, it's very important that they get into the right church. Because sometimes a young person will come to Christ, or anybody at that, you know, any age can come to Christ and give their heart to Jesus, and if they, and then end up in a legalistic setting. And it won't take any time at all before they are robbed of any joy that they might have had. Because those folks are not operating out of the new identity. They're trying to patch up the old identity. They're trying to add to the old identity something new. But what Christ did is made us brand new creations. Old things have passed away. So we're going to live out of that new identity now. And when we do, we have life and peace. Truly, truly, it is by God's grace. And one who has truly received the grace of God will not live like the devil. Why? Because it's the life of Christ that will be manifested through their life. Because His law is written on their heart. Because they are coming to know the one who loves them that much. And when we know that He loves us, we love Him. If a person doesn't understand how much God loves them, then they won't be able to truly love God back. And you can tell when a person is not loving God back because they live like the devil. Amen. We love truth. It doesn't always feel good, but it's good. The gospel is good news. Sometimes I'm not here to compare myself, but sometimes you listen to messages and you're like, man, where's the good news in that? I need to know, yeah. You need to know that you're a sinner, but you need to know the way out. Amen. So that you don't live and abide in that bondage. Mm-hmm. You see, the bondwoman couldn't coexist with the free woman. Hagar and Sarah had it out, right? She said, cast her out, get her out of here. You're either going to live in truth and freedom and liberty in Christ, You see, what happens is when you don't understand the honor of God and we dishonor one another, then what happens is we become fearful. Isn't it true? We become fearful then. And once you become fearful, then in order to protect yourself, you become controlling. Freedom is essential. We have been set free, but we have to remain free. Because the enemy wants to rob you of your freedom. Are you with me, right? And he wants to put you back in the position of Savior. Save yourself. Jesus hung on the cross. He said what? Save yourself. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
That's right.
Take up his cross and follow me. When you lose your life, you find it. It's no longer I that liveth. It's King James. But Christ that lives in me. Well, I can preach all night. And I have to be reminded, though, I don't want to go beyond the anointing. It's about being led by the Spirit. I'm ever learning how to do that. Maybe you are, too. Are we all learning here? We're all learning how to do that? Just to relax, get into rest with the Spirit, and let Him do the work. He'll work. Boy, He can do a whole lot more than we can ever do. And the less that we do, the more He can do. He's the one that will motivate your heart to obedience. And you're obeying who? That sweet, blessed Holy Spirit. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your word today. You know they had suffered so many things here in vain. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Mm-hmm. So, we are the children of God. We are the children that walk by faith in the Son of God, who gave Himself for us. I'm not trusting in my merits. I'm not trusting in myself. I trust only in Jesus Christ. It is in Christ alone. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is no longer we, amen, who are living, but Christ living in us. Paul learned how to operate out of that new identity. He had life and peace. Our external circumstances, what other people are upset about, does not have to affect us. You determine that you're going to find your strength through Jesus Christ. In any situation, you've been given access to the throne of grace. The reservoir is coming right out of your belly. Amen. You tap right into that well of life that God has placed within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it doesn't matter what is happening around you. We can learn how to operate from rest and from that place that you don't have to allow somebody else's problem to become your problem. Jesus never changed. Wherever Jesus was, He was always Jesus. We don't have to compete. We celebrate one another in the Lord as God has equipped each one of us uniquely for the work that needs to be done. Don't let any devil, amen, don't let any person put you in their box. You are an original. There is no one else like you ever. So you can be who you are. Because if you don't live out of who you are, you won't know who you are. And if you aren't who you are, the world is going to suffer because that part is missing. If we try to be somebody we're not, we'll never become who we're supposed to be. Or we'll never know who we are. That's why Paul said, don't look to me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Some are of Apollos. You know, some are of Cephas. And, you know, some are of Paul and some are of Christ. But it's all about Jesus. And you and I are family. And we honor one another. And I practice, and I tell you, I work at this to try to look beyond the faults. And I hope you do the same, because we all have them. But we got to look beyond our faults, and we got to see what is the treasure that God has invested in you. That's why the Bible says, no longer judge anyone according to the flesh. Look beyond that. Because whenever there's dishonor among us, fear results. And where fear is, it drives out love. And the next thing is control. And so where there's control and fear, it's a spirit of witchcraft. Who hath bewitched you, Galatians? You've now gotten into fear and into control and into organization, and you've ceased to be a movement, an organism that operates in the freedom and the liberty that Christ has set you free in. So for what reason? So that we might spread out throughout the earth and make Him known. Hallelujah.